Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's begin our call, as we usually do, with coming together and dropping in silence. So allowing your eyes to close, if you'd like, and placing both feet on the floor and just resting your hands comfortably on your lap. And bringing attention from the external world to the internal. Specifically, connecting with a sense of love. And connecting with a sense of willingness. We're here because we are willing. That's why we are on this path. We wouldn't be otherwise. We're willing to shift our perception. We're willing to let go of fear. And we're willing to invite love in. There's no fear in love. So with connecting with this sense of willingness, offering this willingness to our inner teacher, to Holy Spirit, gladly offering this willingness, knowing that this makes room for miracles. And breathing. Sensing the breath. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And so we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight and always. Trusting that we will hear what we need to hear, receive what we need to receive, and with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. Again, welcome everybody to our study group call. I'm thrilled that you all are here. I look forward to this every week. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 402. The subheading is The Forgiven World. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 17, part 3, also called The Forgiven World. And the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition is chapter 17, part 2, also called The Forgiven World. And I'll just mention again that next weekend I will be in Las Vegas speaking at the Community Miracle Center's ACIM conference, and I'm so excited and so grateful to Deidre, who will be facilitating the call next week. All right, so let's dive in. I'm hoping we can actually read this, these two pages tonight, this section on the forgiven world. So let's dive in. Can you imagine how beautiful those you forgive will look to you? In no fantasy have you ever seen anything so lovely. Nothing you see here, sleeping or waking, comes near to such loveliness. And nothing will you value like unto this, nor hold so dear. Nothing that you remember that made your heart seem to sing with joy has ever brought you even a little part of the happiness this sight will bring you. For you will see the Son of God. You will behold the beauty which the Holy Spirit loves to look upon and which he thanks the Father for. He was created to see this for you until you learn to see it for yourself. And all his teaching leads to seeing it and giving thanks with him. And we'll take a pause. Isn't this paragraph beautiful? It's so clearly saying that nothing we've ever seen here or felt or experienced comes even close to the loveliness that we will know when we come to know our true self. That is just so heartening. It's just so inspiring to read this. And I love how it says toward the end that the Holy Spirit was created to see this for us until we learn to see it for ourselves. So again, the Holy Spirit is part of our own right mind. It's not anything separate from us. So there's part of this mind that hasn't forgotten truth, that still sees and knows this love reality that is. And it's there to know that until we learn to see it again for ourselves. So all of our teaching, all the miracles, everything that we are willing to hand over to be replaced with a miracle instead, it's all leading us back to knowing this loveliness, this beauty, this truth that we are love, that this paragraph is talking about. I just love that. Anybody have anything come up for you in this first paragraph?
Well, I agree. This very paragraph is very beautiful, very poetic.
Yeah, right? It is very poetic. Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah. And
thank you.
Nothing you remember that made your heart seem to sing with joy has ever brought you even a little part of the happiness this sight will bring you. Really, I mean, we think we have some joyous times,
right. But yeah,
he wants to challenge this. He says, "No, this is going to be better."
Right, that's so true. And Igor, it's so funny that you just read that sentence, because right before you spoke, I was going to read that. I felt moved to read that very sentence again. So it is, and that's what gets in our way of, you know, of coming to know this, is our belief that we think we've got it, or that we think we even know what makes us happy. This is saying so clearly that we don't. And so it's just such a beautiful reminder.
I have a little example.
But this is,
go ahead.
But I can believe that can you, first sentence, can you imagine how beautiful those you forgive will look to you? Because at least me, I have people that before I met the course, I didn't even take an idea close to thinking that I will forgive someday those people. And I had very strong opinions about those people, right? And really, there is this saying, if you want to experience something you have never experienced before, you have to do something you have never done before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe this, I have never thought about forgiving those jerks, but maybe if I would, then it would make all the difference, yeah?
Yeah.
I have a good example of this, a very good example of this. I have a friend who recently, he and I got into quite a push-pull. I mean, I wanted to kill him for a couple of days. Just at the thought of him made me so angry. And you know, of course, that's what those emotions and feelings, right away, right away my mind goes to, well, if I'm feeling this, I must not be thinking with God. But I'm not ready a lot of times to think with God. But at least I know that those feelings are an indicator that I'm not thinking with God. So it's, what would God be thinking about this? So I really worked with this for the last couple of weeks. I met up with him in the grocery store yesterday. His granddaughter is in a play. And it turns out a lot of the people in the family were going to see the granddaughter in the play, and they all had the flu. So he had these tickets, and we were talking about it. And he said, do you want to – no, I said to him, you know, I was thinking about going next Saturday night, because I'm very good friends with this family, but he just makes me crazy sometimes. And he said, I've got some extra tickets. And I said, well, let me buy one from you. Turns out nobody in the family was able to go but him. So he and I wound up going to this play together. And we had the best time. I am not kidding.
I love it.
It was the most heartwarming experience to see his reaction to his little granddaughter on the stage. I mean, it was really, I had a wonderful time with him. And this paragraph absolutely brought this to mind, because it was like, it was like night and day. I'm not kidding. But that's the Holy Spirit. That's working with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, because I know when I'm thinking these thoughts about people, God would not be thinking these thoughts.
Right.
And that's where, you know, Holy Spirit, please come in and help me with this. Get this off of me. I'm not going to do this. It's that little
that
bit of willingness.
That is beautiful.
It really was. It was a beautiful experience.
It's a beautiful example, and I love also what you started with saying, that, you know, when you feel that anger or whatever the emotion is, knowing that God wouldn't be thinking that, but also acknowledging that you're not ready necessarily to think with God. I think that that's such a key piece, because that's where we need to take responsibility that, hey, you know, I'm another way of saying it is, here's my unwillingness. But still, even just by looking at that and looking at that with Holy Spirit, that's that space for those shifts to come in. So,
and it is a process.
I love that example.
It really is a process, because you can't, sometimes you just, you know, sometimes it just takes a little space and a little time to allow and to hear what God would be saying about that.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you, Paula.
You're welcome.
Let's go ahead and read another paragraph. This loveliness is not a fantasy. It is the real world, bright and clean and new, with everything sparkling under the open sun. Nothing is hidden here, for everything has been forgiven, and there are no fantasies to hide the truth. The bridge between that world and this is so little and so easy to cross that you could not believe it is the meeting place of worlds so different. Yet this little bridge is the strongest thing that touches on this world at all. This little step, so small it has escaped your notice, is a stride through time into eternity, and beyond all ugliness into beauty that will enchant you and will never cease to cause you wonderment at its perfection. I feel moved to read the next paragraph also. Let's read one more, and then we'll pause. This step, the smallest ever taken by anything, is still the greatest accomplishment of all in God's plan of atonement. All else is learned, but this is given, complete and wholly perfect. No one but him who plans salvation could complete it thus. The real world in its loveliness, the real world in its loveliness, you learn to reach. Fantasies are all undone, and no one and nothing remains still bound by them. And by your own forgiveness, you are set to You are, let me read that again. Fantasies are all undone, and no one and nothing remains still bound by them. And by your own forgiveness, you are free to see. Yet what you see is only what you have made, with the blessing of your forgiveness on it. And with this final blessing of God's Son upon himself, the real perception, born of the new perspective he has learned, has served its purpose. Now we'll pause. Ah, so again, it starts out with saying this loveliness is not a fantasy. This is what's real, this real world, bright and clean and new, with everything sparkling under the open sun. Nothing is hidden, for everything has been forgiven. There are no fantasies to hide the truth. And it says, I love how it says, the bridge between that world and this one is so little and so easy to cross that it's hard to imagine it being the meeting place of these two different worlds that are so different. It goes on in the second paragraph that we just read. I love how it says, the real world in its loveliness, you learn to reach. So we're learning with each choice, with each, you know, reinforcing miracle, with each piece of trust that we're developing in Holy Spirit, we're learning to reach the real world again. We're letting go of those blocks of fear that we've put up in our own minds.
You know, it's funny, because this person I was just talking about just made me realize something here. When he and I had this disagreement, we normally go out with, I'm kind of like, I'm a widow, right? So I go out with these couples, and we're great friends. We've been friends for years. But I happened to go out with just him and his wife this one evening, and he really turned on me. And I thought to myself, I will never put myself in a position of being alone with him and her, or with him separately, ever again. I remember making that thinking that, really meaning it. And I thought it more than once. But again, every time I thought that, I felt very uncomfortable. When I feel uncomfortable, I know I must not be thinking with God. Do you know, when I met up with him in that store yesterday, and I really worked on this over the past few weeks with the Holy Spirit, when I met up with him in that store last night, that never even occurred to me. This
wow.
is how complete forgiveness can be when you work with Holy Spirit. That thought never occurred to me that, gee, I don't want to be alone with him or alone with him and her. I knew there would only be, because everybody in the family was sick, but I didn't really know that it would be just he and I going to this thing. But it never even occurred to me that that would be a problem. I think that's pretty amazing.
That is
really amazing. And I wasn't even aware of how amazing that was until just now.
Wow. That's so powerful. And I love that phrase that you used, complete forgiveness. That is how complete forgiveness is. It's not. It's all of it. It's all of the fear, all of the judgment. It all goes. Not one little thread or speck of it remains. And all that remains is that love, is that shining, sparkly miracle.
Wow.
I'd love that, Paula. What a powerful example.
Yeah, that's really. I'm just realizing it as we're reading this.
Wow.
You know, certainly in relationships, I mean, that's really so obvious with what Paula was saying, but also internally. You know, when you fight battles inside yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, man.
That's the battle.
Yeah.
Ryan, it's really nothing out there. It's that battle within yourself that, oh, my God, it's so disturbing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, Holy Spirit.
Go on. I'm sorry?
No, just bring on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yep. Bring
exactly.
it on.
Thank you, Paula, for your honest sharings. I love it when people give their examples from their experience, It's beautiful. Thank you very much. And what I noticed from these paragraphs is that in the first paragraph, in sentences 2 and 3, there are two words, lovely and loveliness. In the second paragraph, in the beginning, this loveliness is not a fantasy. It's loveliness again, right? And but actually, Jesus, in the introduction to the text, in the very beginning, he says this course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, right?
Right.
And in chapter 29, he goes even wilder. He says, those who hate are afraid of love, for they don't know what love means. And so they fear to love and love to hate, and so they think that love is fearful and that hate is love. So I've seen recently a YouTube video where people on the streets were being asked one simple question, what is love? People were totally confused. They didn't know what to answer, what love is, you know?
Wow.
Even though, it was very funny, and funny answers too. Nice video. You can just search YouTube for what is love, I guess. And again, in introduction to the text, Jesus says, love is your natural inheritance, right? So love is our natural inheritance. So to ask what is love is to ask, what is your name? How are you? Right? So it's a so simple question, but we are we made love so unnatural for us that Jesus says here, you hate, you love to hate, so you fear to love. Well, for me at least, that's totally true. It's so much more natural for me to hate everyone than to love anyone. How they say, I judge the shit out of them and I hate them. So, it was what was stunning for me when I read in workbook lesson 186, at the very end of the workbook lesson 186, Jesus says, forgiveness is an earthly form of love. It was like, wow, forgiveness is an earthly form of love. And he, in this paragraph, he talks about this bridge. You said about it, this bridge between that world and reality. Yeah. And right. This forgiveness is an earthly form of love. It's so beautiful. And at the very end of this workbook lesson 186, again, he says, forgiveness is an earthly form of love. Salvation of the world depends on you who can forgive. That is your function here. Yeah, so again, forgiveness is the key to happiness, right? Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Igor, for sharing. That was just packed with so many beautiful insights and sharings and quotes from the course. So I really, really, really appreciate you sharing that. It just brings to mind to me with what you said with that passage about, you know, we fear to love and love to hate, that how we're profoundly confused. We are profoundly confused as to number one, we've forgotten who we are, but confused as to what makes us happy. And we think what makes us happy is actually really what hurts us. And then we fear that love is something that is fearful. And so, you know, that's why we continue to block it. It's not that we made that choice to blot out love when the separation began. It's that we're doing it every moment. So this is a pathway of learning to undo that. And thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome. That I love when me and others and all of us find these little snippets in the course that it's like, wow, what you said about how Jesus says forgiveness is an earthly form of love. That's so cool. Love it. Thank you. Let's read another paragraph. Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks. And just what you said, I'm just reflecting again on what you said. Just it was so funny, that all of us chuckled, that we all identify that it's easier to, you know, to hate and be judgmental. I appreciated that. So again, thank you.
Corinne, hi, this is Nick.
Yes.
I just wanted to add
Hi.
I just wanted to add one thing, which I find very helpful. is that I use this a lot, and that is going to the table of contents in the table of contents in the workbook, and just reading down like just the titles of the even just the first page, because that seems to fit almost everything that can happen in daily life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts with nothing I see means anything. I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me, and I do not understand anything I see. And just going down that contents,
yeah.
The table of contents is just very, very powerful. I mean, I've worked on also the lessons, but just going down that first page is very, very powerful.
Sometimes it's
Thank
actually
you.
Easier to read the contents and
mm-hmm.
get to the meaning quicker
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
by reading the contents.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. Right
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that just going down that table of contents and just reading those titles is very powerful.
Awesome. I thank you, Meg, for articulating that. I've done that in the past too. I haven't in a while, but you're absolutely right that it just it really gets to the heart of it, and that's such a powerful, powerful practice. So thank you. Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Thank you for sharing that. Beautiful. All right, next paragraph. The stars will disappear in light, and the sun which opened up the world to beauty will vanish. Perception will be meaningless when it has been perfected, for everything that has been used for learning will have no function. Nothing will ever change, no shifts nor shadings, no differences, no variations which made perception possible will occur. The perception of the real world will be so short that you will barely have time to thank God for it. For God will take the last step swiftly when you have reached the real world and have been made ready for him.
Yeah, this one's kind of scary.
I am so glad you said that, because as I was reading, I said I wanted to address if reading this brings up fear or a feeling of like reality must be totally boring because there's no change, there's no shifts. So there can only be fear in this if we're looking through the eyes of the ego, because the ego loves being a separate self. So that's number one, important to keep in mind. Number two, if there is any fear that we notice, it's really important, number one, to acknowledge it, to not just, you know, brush it under the rug. So Brian, I'm so glad you shared that, because that's exactly what I wanted to say. It's important to not brush it under the rug, but instead say, oh, you know, here, okay, I'm noticing fear. I'm willing to look at this with the Holy Spirit. I'm willing to look at this fear with Holy Spirit. This is something that we grow to. We don't get whisked into it. It doesn't happen before we're ready. This is what we are growing into. And only when it's not scary at all is it something that we would come to know. So with each, this used to definitely sound scary to me. Now it sounds much, much, much less less so. It actually sounds kind of nice to me. So that, I really want to acknowledge the importance of noting if any fear does arise and recognizing that simply as ego and being willing to look at that fear with spirit, because this is something that we grow into, we grow to, that we never get whisked away. I think I've shared before that was my fear for many years in doing the course, was that I was afraid that I would just poof, be gone one day, and that terrified me until I realized how gentle this process actually is.
This seems to tie into the homework that you gave us last week, what is the resurrection? It seems because it says very simply, the resurrection is the overcoming or surmounting of death. It is a reawakening or a rebirth, and that's kind of this last paragraph seems to be saying the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I have a thought, but I'm going to hold it. Meg, did you have something you also wanted to add?
Yes, I love the second paragraph, the second verse that says, perception will be meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
That is just so radical and so awesome. Because that's what we're caught in, false perception.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad
agree.
That you're highlighting that. Oh, go on, Igor.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree that this feeling is very common. I think we all have them, this fear of, like, death, that we will disappear if we, like, what? There will be no me, only God, only God's will. I will be a slave, I thought so. And I have a Vedic background before studying the course, and Vedic books, they have this quick, funny story that Heron, bird, Heron, who hunts, who is hunting frogs, who eats frogs, right? So Heron is standing in the swamp and hunting frogs, and it sees that a beautiful swan is flying in the sky. And Heron looks at him and says, hey, fella, please wait a minute, come to me. Swan comes in. Heron asks, where are you going so fast? Where are you hurrying? And Swan says, oh, I'm going into heaven. I'm going into heaven. And Heron says, what? Really? And what's heaven? What is this? Like, what? Swan says, heaven is so cool. It's so beautiful. Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. It cannot be expressed in the words even. Wow. And Heron says, really? So good? Well, but what do they have to eat? Swan says, well, I don't know. What are you interested in? Heron says, well, I really like frogs. And Swan says, no, excuse me, there are no frogs there. And Heron says, well, what am I going to do there, then in heaven? I don't like heaven if there are no frogs there. Go away. So this always reminds me of the two workbook lessons. They go after each other. And I remember David Hofmeister told once that one man at one of his seminars comes up to him and said that he stopped studying the Course in Miracles after this workbook lesson 128 that says the world I see has nothing that I want. And this man said, I got so angry that how could it be? How is it possible that the world I see has nothing that I want? No, I just dropped out the book. And David Hofmeister told him, wow, really? Well, then it means you have never read the so beautiful very next lesson of the workbook. And what lesson? Beyond the world I see, there is a world I want. Beyond the world I see, there is a world I want. And another quote from the text from chapter 24, section 2, paragraph 4, if you're interested. The death of specialness is not your death, but your awakening into life eternal. You but emerge from an illusion of what you are to the acceptance of yourself as God created you. So actually, we might feel that this fear that we will die or we will disappear, but actually we will become so great, so incredible that it's never going to be it's never sacrifice. It's a subject of sacrifice, because we think we have to sacrifice something for heaven, for enlightenment. But no, there is no sacrifice. This world has nothing that we really want, but that world, the reality, has everything, totally what we want. Okay, thank you.
That's beautiful, Eva.
Yes.
Thank you
so much. So beautiful. I think that is such an important, you highlighted so many important things, but the one that is on my mind at the moment is the death of specialness is not your death. That is so true, which ties back to what Meg said, that this is all a matter of, you know, of letting our false perceptions be healed. This is a perception thing. How it says perception will be meaningless when it has been perfected. And so to go back to what you said, Brian, about or any of us who just, you know, senses that fear of oblivion, or, you know, whatever it is that we would call it, fear of just, you know, not knowing oneself as oneself anymore. My sense is, well, just like the Course says, we're learning how to reach the real world. This is where, for me, with reading near-death experience accounts has been so helpful, because I get the sense from these different stories that it's the same kind of thing, that there's these levels of learning. You know, we see the real world and see that beauty, and when we're ready to see it, we receive it, and then we are opening up to God that much more, and that there's like a growth, a continual undoing, and our awareness expands as we let go of that fear. Mm. So that's where those near-death experiences have been so helpful for me, in that it's actually taken the fear out of it for me, from hearing, you know, what people, how amazing, how beautiful, how pure love was, you know, their experience. So, oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Igor. Thank you,
Matt. Wow.
Hmm. Awesome. And there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear.
There is what?
There is nothing to fear.
Oh, amen.
Another workbook lesson. Yeah. Amen. Let's read the next paragraph. The real world is attained simply by the complete forgiveness of the old, the world you see without forgiveness. The great transformer of perception will undertake with you the careful searching of the mind that made this world and uncover to you the seeming reasons for your making it. In the light of the real reason which he brings as you follow him, he will show you that there is no reason here at all. Each spot his reason touches grows alive with beauty, and what seemed ugly in the darkness of your lack of reason is suddenly released to loveliness. Not even what the Son of God made in insanity could be without a hidden spark of beauty which gentleness could release.
Awesome.
Right? Oh.
Amen to that. Wow, this is so beautiful.
Right? That middle sentence, in the light of the real reason which he brings as you follow him, he will show you that there is no reason here at all. That just made me think, Igor, of the video that you shared about David Hoffmeister and the person saying, you know, that he stopped at that lesson, that the world holds nothing that I want, and David highlighted, well, you didn't get on to the next lesson, that beyond this world is the world that I want. So that made me think of that, with there being no reason here at all. And that's our twisted, distorted perception, is that when we think it does make sense, when we think that there is, you know, reason, or that there is something here that is worth it, that, you know, that that we think is either defining us or that is desirable, we're confused.
A lot.
That's the truth.
But a lot.
That's the truth. A whole lot.
But that's also, so this goes back then to what Paula was saying in the beginning, that if I have any lack of peace, I'm not thinking with God. So if I am at all disturbed, if I've been offended or upset by something or gotten anxious or sad, whatever it is, I must be misperceiving. I must be misperceiving. And so there is, to me, a very, very comforting thought, a shift in saying, like, hey, if I'm upset, I must be the one misperceiving. So I'm willing to have a perception shift here. So just that little statement of, you know, like Paula said, I'm not thinking with God right now, or, you know, I must be misperceiving, is there's a lot in that. There's willingness.
It also goes back to one other thing. I swear this simplifies everything for me. God's will for us is perfect happiness.
Yeah.
I relate perfect happiness to love. So God's will for us is love, simplicity, perfect happiness, peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, this is where the emotions are such a wonderful indicator. Without them, we wouldn't even know. But anymore, when I have that uneasy, that tension, you know, it's such a good indicator. Wait a minute, I'm off. I'm not thinking with God. Because if I was thinking with God, I would only feel good. I would only walk around feeling terrific. I would feel exactly, there wouldn't be all of this confusion, all of this. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to think with God.
And Paul, when you were saying all that, a word just popped into my head, and you said the word, and the word was ease.
Yeah.
You said unease, but the word I was thinking of was when you're in that will, in that love, what's there is ease. Everything is just ease.
Ease.
I like that word.
It really, you know. So the contrast that we experience when we're not thinking with God is the only thing that's really going to get us back thinking with God. This is the only way we're really going to feel good again.
And
do His will. That is His will. It's like wanting to be a disobedient child, you know? Like, I'll be damned, I want to stick with this madness because this is what I want. No, that's being disobedient.
And what you did was like a wonderful barometer, the fact that you knew, you were aware. So many people are like unaware, but you were aware that you were off kilter.
This is a course in extreme awareness. Extreme awareness.
An extreme awareness of my fearfulness, because that's what I've battled with all of my life. Is it's not extreme now, but it used to be extreme fear about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's better. I mean, you know, it has gotten better, thankfully.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, two things come to mind that I just want to add before we read the next paragraph. Goes back to what you're saying about disobedience, Paula, is keeping in mind that story of the prodigal son, that, you know, the son wanders off and spends the spot, I don't remember the exact story. I've heard it so many times, I should really know it by heart. But I think everybody knows the story that I'm talking about.
Sure,
and when he
absolutely.
Comes back, the father welcomes him. There's no guilt. You know, he welcomes him with open arms. And so that's so important for us to remember that that's how God is. God knows none of, you know, doesn't know guilt, doesn't know punishment. God is just there beaming with love, patiently waiting. It says, we're going to read it tonight. It's the last paragraph about the Holy Spirit is trembling with readiness to give us all of these gifts.
If you let me.
That's exciting. Hey, family.
Gorgeous. Hi, Carla.
Hey. I've been listening in, and that last share made me come out of the lurking mode, because I have been struggling with an issue for years that, of course, I realize is something that is being used to keep me in fear of love and joining. And it's really a good one, too. It's really something good that very ingenious the ego came up with. And I feel like a dog chasing its tail. You know, it's just going round and round and round. Don't even know it's chasing its own damn tail. It just keeps doing it, getting dizzy and frustrated. When it finally catches it, bites it, and realizes it's its own tail. And I feel just as insane as the dog does with, I can't fix this. I have the willingness to get beyond it. But, and I've recognized that it has gotten better. You know, it's the fear is not as intense, but it don't matter. Tomato, tomato. You know, a little bit of fear is still rage, you know. Mm-hmm. In the scheme of things, it's not love. And that's what I need to be in touch with. And I'm not. And I would love to be. And I'm really, really afraid right now. I know that. So I guess the only thing that I can do at this moment is to be gentle with myself and considerate that that's where I'm at in this moment, and that I'm, you know, really hell bent on using this issue to keep me separate from love, from other people, from love, and I don't want it anymore. So maybe if I say it out loud for the millionth time, you know, it's like the stone cutter. You know, I read something in one of my 12-step recovery books, and it's a story about a stone cutter. And the stone cutter just hits that rock, and with the 100th blow, the rock splits in two. And it wasn't the 100th blow that did it, but it was the 99 that went before it that broke down the integrity of that rock that made it able to split with that 100th blow. So I just keep showing up, trusting that, like that stone cutter, all of my efforts and all of my willingness is going to pay off. It's going to crack that rock. So thank you, family.
Carla, thank you. If I can just share, and then I'm not sure if that was Maurice, then I'll let you speak.
Yeah.
Remembering that it's those 99 blows, that 100th blow that breaks it, it's already happened. We just have to accept it. So it obviously seems very linear to us. But it's been done already. We're in that love already, and that's why I love thinking about this from, you know, God's perspective, like that Paula was saying. God doesn't know suffering. God doesn't know this issue, and so it can't be real. It can't have power over me because God doesn't know it. This, whatever it is, this bug cannot take down the Son of God. It's impossible. So that to me has just been such a helpful thought, but also that prayer. I just want to offer again that prayer from Nook Sanchez, because it sounds like you were just saying this in different words. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using this issue, that blank, or this person. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank to... Oh, my gosh, I'm blanking. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank to attack myself and to separate from your love.
Yeah.
Love, that's so, so powerful. So thank you. Thank you for sharing, Carla. We're holding that space for you and upholding only the truth.
And thank you, Corinne, for that prayer.
Yeah, appreciate that.
It's a good one. Maurice, did you have something you wanted to add? And then we're going to read the last two paragraphs.
Yes, just quickly, I just really resonate with you, Carla. And I'm not trying to say I'm not trying to reinterpret what you said. But for me, I'm so afraid of love. And I'm so farther along than I used to be. I've been in recovery for 29 years. And I know, I realize and recognize that my life is better. But I also realize that I enter into situations, and it's usually in the workplace, that something ticks me off. And at least today I know, okay, you're angry. You're fearful. You may be ticked off, but you're actually fearful. And I get it with my head, and I believe I do get a lot of it with my heart. but it's the marrying of the two that I struggle with. It's because I know that I'm loved with an everlasting love, but there is something that is holding me back, and I feel like I'm being played with, you know, by the ego. And I really appreciate you verbalizing that, because even if what we said sounds a little different, the feelings are the same for me. So thank you. And thank you, Corinne.
Thank you, Maurice. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Oh, let's go ahead and read the last two paragraphs of this section. All this beauty will rise to bless your sight as you look upon the world with forgiving eyes. For forgiveness literally transforms vision and lets you see the real world reaching quietly and gently across chaos and removing all illusions which had twisted your perception and fixed it on the past. The smallest leaf becomes a thing of wonder, and a blade of grass a sign of God's perfection. From the forgiven world, the Son of God is lifted easily into his home, and there he knows that he has always rested there in peace. Even salvation will become a dream and vanish from his mind. For salvation is the end of dreams, and with the closing of the dream will have no meaning. Who, awake in heaven, could dream that there could ever be need of salvation? How much do you want salvation? It will give you the real world trembling with readiness to be given you. The eagerness of the Holy Spirit to give you this is so intense he would not wait, although he waits in patience. Meet his patience with your impatience at delay in meeting him. Go out in gladness to meet with your Redeemer and walk with him in trust out of this world and into the real world of beauty and forgiveness.
Wow.
Wow. Wow is right.
I love
this line. I have a little
line.
Heart.
This one line, it says it all. How much do you want salvation?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And again,
yep,
that's part of the process. Because when I'm mad and I'm in the middle of it, I don't want salvation. I want to be right about whatever the hell it is. And
right.
That is it. But then how
mm-hmm.
long do I want to be miserable?
Mm-hmm.
It's
beautiful,
not
Paula.
That hard.
Yeah. I'm so glad you highlighted that, because nothing is withheld from us. Like you just said, it's about us being willing to look at that part of us that doesn't want it, that part of us
yeah.
that wants to be right instead of happy, that part of us that is enjoying playing this game of separation. And there's no guilt in that. It's just an opportunity to
that's
look
right.
at that belief, that desire with Holy Spirit. And see,
you know,
it's nothing.
It's funny because sometimes earlier when I talked about what would God be thinking about this, sometimes I will say that in the middle of all of this, but I don't really want to hear it. I don't really want to know what God would be saying about this. And it was funny, I was in a good spot today because I was doing a lot of painting, and I always get happy when I paint. And I had a situation going on, and I knew God would not be thinking this, and I seriously felt like I wanted to know what he was thinking. And I got the answer to this silly thing that was making me nuts in such a gentle way, and it didn't happen immediately. A little later on in the day, as I just let everything go, and, you know, when I get into the painting, I don't care about anything but that, you know? It really is a good release. Anything you can do that can, you know, get the ego out of the way. And the answer was so simple. And so lovely.
I love that. I love that. I just want to speak to, again, Paula, what you've been emphasizing is radical, radical self-honesty with this willingness to be totally honest that, nope, I don't want to hear or I don't want to think about what God would think right now, that self-honesty, that radical honesty has been a huge, huge part for me in allowing these blocks to just fall away because I'm willing to look at my own resistance to truth, to love.
This page 90 technique I've seen in your video, Corinne, right? Page 90.
What was that? I'm sorry. In my video, which technique? Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Page 90.
Yes. Yep. Page 90 is a great one. Oh. Absolutely.
Corinne, may I just say one thing? I just would like to highlight that one sentence in paragraph 7, and it's phrase 5. Who awake in heaven could dream that there could ever be a need of salvation?
Yeah. And so that's the ultimate truth, is that there is no salvation because there's nothing to be saved from because we're already home and already healed and just that pure love. So there's no need for salvation. Of course, from a twisted perception, it doesn't seem that way, but we're learning to allow our perception to be untwisted as we go along this path to the love that we never, ever left.
What a powerful
hour. What an amazing call, everybody. Thank you so much for being here, for showing up, for all of your beautiful, powerful sharing. Big group hug.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed
it.
Have a great week.
Enjoy
bye-bye.
Your trip.
God bless you guys.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye, fam.